What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to a live edition of the NBA Outlet. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron and regular on the show, Jack Manuel. We're here to discuss some breaking news. Anthony Davis finally traded to the LA Lakers. Guys, how we feeling?
Corey's so jacked. He's taking off his clothes and rubbing up protein shakes on. I don't know. It's 8:30 in the morning here. It's a wonderful morning when I can see Corey's biceps.
Well, I mean, David Griffin just flexed with the trade he pulled off, right?
Nice.
This was obviously the start to free agency mayhem. The season ends just the other night, and we are officially in full-on free agency mode. This is the first big move we got, and, I mean, Anthony Davis is a Los Angeles goddamn Laker.
And, I mean, we've heard this rumor since the NBA trade deadline, since Anthony Davis requested a trade. He's now in a Laker uniform this upcoming season. Obviously, you make a move for one of the top five players. When you already have a top five player in LeBron James, it's huge. And to drop the details of the deal, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, three first-round picks, including this year's number four pick in the draft, going to New Orleans for Anthony Davis. Reaction to the trade details.
Yeah, I think the trade details almost were like, how similar, I mean, I can't remember, it feels like eons ago, that it was the NBA Finals. Whenever something new happens in the NBA, it just gives you selective memory. But I think that this was pretty similar and pretty close to what the deal was originally when Dell Demps and Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson were sort of doing deals back and forth. You know, there was rumors, obviously, earlier in the week that the Lakers didn't want to trade Kyle Kuzma. They were able to maintain that, obviously keeping him there. But losing Ingram, Ball, Hart, and as well as this year's number four pick and three future first rounders, I'm sure Woj will be tweeting out soon enough what years those are likely to be, you know, 2021, 23, and 25 with some sort of protections going forward. But it's a great haul for the New Orleans Pelicans. David Griffin's made a massive splash first up. You know, a little bit surprising because the talks were, you know, Bradley Beal, these three-team deals, you know, the Brooklyn Nets are around there, the Knicks were sort of sniffing around the wings as well, the Clippers were sort of there. But it ended up just being a two-team deal, which I guess is somewhat surprising. But at the end of the day, the Lakers got their man. And I guess, you know, the bookies had them as the championship favorites heading into next season. This deal maybe almost makes them that.
Yeah, so there's two sides to look at this trade, of course. I mean, the first side I want to talk about first is the Pelicans. I mean, they got Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, the three first-round picks, the fourth being this year. They already have the first. They're going to get Zion. So now you already have an entire juiced-up rebuild start with this young core. You still have Jrue Holiday. Do you trade Jrue Holiday now? Do you keep him as a vet to kind of push these young guys along? I think that's going to be an interesting thing to look at going into free agency. Do you re-sign Julius Randle? And then this young Lakers core is basically all reunited aside from D'Angelo Russell. And then you
they
look at the
him too.
Right. I mean, you could technically. And you look at the flip side, the Lakers got the guy who they wanted, right? This is the guy that LeBron James has pretty much, I think, made clear behind closed doors he's wanted. They were on the episode of The Shop together where he was really kind of pushing at the fact that Anthony Davis was just trying to take control of his career and his legacy. So now LeBron and AD have paired up. Because they moved Lonzo, they now have cap space for another max player. And if you're a free agent on the market this year, you're saying, okay, well, LeBron and Anthony Davis, that's not a bad situation to go to in La La Land. So I think both sides have just put themselves in a win now spot for the Lakers. And in the future, the Pelicans look very good going forward. It was actually a decently balanced trade from what we've seen in superstar returns as of late.
And I think the fact is the Lakers had the most confidence that Anthony Davis was going to re-sign. They're okay giving up the most, where a team like Boston, they didn't know if AD was going to re-sign. Even the Knicks, there's a possibility he wasn't going to re-sign there. So I think LA felt confident. I want to say maybe even the trade deal we heard around the deadline might have been more, but you can't really predict what would have happened with New Orleans pick. Would they have got number one if they add Lonzo Broom and Hart at that time? Because I think it was four first-round picks originally, but whatever it may be, the four pick is not really high for the Lakers, and at that time, it probably didn't predict to be that high. So like Corey said, I think it's a pretty fair trade because New Orleans gets what they want. They get three good young players. You look at Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball, there's a possibility for one of those two guys to become all-stars, and Josh Hart is a perfect type of role player on that team. And then the first-round picks, you got the number four pick. You know, you're probably not going to RJ Barrett, but you could get somebody else very valuable to add to that core. interesting to see what will happen with Jrue Holiday, like Corey mentioned as well. And they cleared up, I want to say, with a combined all the salary, somewhere between 15 to 17 million, which they can get another max spot. And it's been rumored already by Mark Stein that the top target for them is Kemba Walker.
Hey, it was rumored by Dylan Jackson in the OTG group chat first. I'm going to give my boy a little bit of love there. But obviously, Mark Stein is one of the most well-credentialed sources going around. So, you know, I think that, you know, the Kyrie Irving rumor was strong at certain points as well. But, you know, Kemba, AD, and LeBron James is a new super team. And obviously, Kemba has made his intentions known. You know, we've seen in previous weeks, obviously, you know, his sort of news hasn't been the most splashy in terms of the attention that he has received, but he's made it known that he wants to stay in Charlotte. The Charlotte Hornets have made it known that they want to keep him. Is he willing to leave $80 million on the table or around that to go to a different team, to go to a contender, to possibly win a championship or at least compete for one? Because in Charlotte, that ain't happening. So it's going to be interesting to see what Kemba Walker values going forward, because, you know, a point guard would be the perfect sort of fit. You know, Jimmy Butler he's been rumored to LA as well. If I'm Rob Pelinka, I'm going after Kemba Walker, you know, gung-ho. And I think that if he were to land these guys, then it would really change the reputation that has surrounded him for the past year or two, because at the end of the day, if you get those superstar free agents, you build a contender, you get a few role players that can shoot the ball and play a little bit of defense, then you're building a contender around LeBron James, and you're doing what David Griffin did back in Cleveland.
Yeah, I think when you look at the Lakers, there's just like, now there's just so many options, right? Because I don't even think necessarily, obviously, Kemba's the reported guy they're looking at, but I wouldn't rule out Kyrie. I know there's a lot of momentum for Kyrie going to Brooklyn, but I don't, and obviously, does he want to play with LeBron again? But knowing there's a LeBron and Anthony Davis pairing for sure, and knowing those two guys are in Los Angeles, I think it could change guys' minds if they want to play in that scenario and have a chance to compete for a title. So I kind of think like there's three point guards in mind. So like if Kyrie hits up LeBron and Anthony Davis and says, hey guys, I'm interested in teaming with you guys, I think that's probably the guy that would say, okay, let's bring you in. If not, then they go full press on Kemba. Kemba, who can score off ball, can create his own shot, doesn't necessarily need to run the point, which is why Dallas was interested in him. And then if all else fails, then the Chris Paul scenario kind of gets opened up. Maybe they somehow finesse a move for him. But this is interesting. We are now in time for every free agency to be photoshopped into Laker jerseys for real this time, because they have an actual max money slot and AD and LeBron.
Yeah, I think what it really comes down to is who's willing to play, you know, third spot. You know, AD and LeBron James are the two best players in that team. Nobody's going to come in and be that, you know, second best player unless it's Kawhi Leonard, which probably isn't going to happen. So it's probably Kemba Walker, I think, would fit better in that role. Kyrie, if he was willing to kind of change his role and go there and be like, all right, I'm going to play the third fiddle here, which I just don't see it happening because of what he's wanted to do in the past and asking for the trade out of Cleveland. It'll be interesting to see. On the Chris Paul front, I'm not 100% sure they have enough cap space to take his trade completely in. They'd probably have to move some other players in that deal. And in my opinion, that would be really risky. I don't even know if they need like a really good point guard. They could be okay just adding an average point guard, adding a good shooter at the small forward spot or the shooting guard spot. Then you start AD at center, LeBron at power forward, whatever it may be. I think there's a lot of options and a lot of flexibility. And like you guys said, they're increasing their chance to add a big star now. Going into this into the offseason without AD, you didn't feel too good about their chances, but that all changed today.
I wouldn't be totally shocked if they were to get, let's say, Jimmy Butler, and then they bring back, let's say, Rondo in a reduced role, and they go after a like Pat Beverly or a Darren Collison, who's a three-point shooter, doesn't need to do a lot. I wouldn't be shocked if they went on a lower-end point guard. And also the Rondo, I think it's kind of – to me, I think Rondo's for sure coming back, because I think him and Anthony Davis have a really good relationship from their Pelican days, which could be an interesting thing as well.
I would go after, this is just a name that just pops up in my head, who's a guy who's a restricted free agent. Malcolm Brogdon, I think, would be the ideal fit in LA right now. And, you know, you guys mentioned Jimmy Butler. Obviously, I mentioned Jimmy Butler as well, but they need to get spacing. I think that it's been made clear through LeBron's history, when he's had the most success is when he's had spaces shooters around him. You know, J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver, all these sort of guys. Rajon Rondo in a reduced role, yeah, keep him there. Keep him in a super reduced role. Have Malcolm Brogdon playing 38 minutes. Have Darren Collison playing 35 minutes or whatever it might be. Beverly in those sort of centers. Guys who can play a bit of defense. Guys who can shoot the ball. You know, Brogdon averaged nigh on a 50-40-90 this season. So you can obviously, and I think Kemba Walker, funnily enough, would be a better fit than Kyrie Irving as well. I remember talking just in general and probably on some pods as well that, you know, if the New York Knicks before KD got injured were to have landed Kevin Durant, I thought Kemba Walker would have been a better fit than Kyrie Irving, because I think Kemba has the ability, mentality to play a lesser role. And I think Kemba is an incredible player. But at the same time as well, he is a shorter guard, and those shorter guards tend to not necessarily age well. We look at Chris Paul, Steve Nash, those sort of guys, Isaiah Thomas, but he's still in his prime. He's still got a couple of years left in his prime. AD isn't even in his prime, and you know, he's an MVP contender when he is actually playing basketball. And then LeBron James, one of the best players in the history of the game. I'm really intrigued to watch the moves around the wings, how they sort of, we saw last season, I know when I was running a few pieces for OTG Basketball, I was savage in my assessment of the Los Angeles Lakers free agency. I know Corey liked the Lance Stevenson move, I'll just put that out there. I'll say that till the day I die, but I think they just need to get shooters, and it's easier said than done. But they've now got the crux of what is a championship contender. Can they get that third kahuna? Can they get the role players around it to sort of support them? That's what it's all going to be. And they've still got Kuzma, which is, you know, I guess it's okay. I mean, Kuzma is not a great three-point shooter either. He shot pretty well in his rookie season, I believe. But I think that Kuz, if you're working in the offseason, if you're listening right now, subscribed on iTunes and everything else, and on YouTube and subscribe to the channel, make sure you're working on those 3-point shots in the gym, my dude, because you're going to be taking a lot of them.
Kuz is a good role player. Like, he's not, you know, going to be a top three player on your team, but maybe as your sixth man or your fifth starter, I don't think he's bad. And I actually kind of like the route that you mentioned, Jack, maybe bringing in Malcolm Brogdon and then going after a lot of good to great players instead of going after all the stars, because you have two of the best players in the league. You surround them with a good supporting cast. We saw how important depth was in the finals this year with the Warriors not having a lot of guys and the Raptors having a deeper team. So maybe they go that route, add a lot of shooting, add a guy like Brogdon, bring back Reggie Bullock, maybe go after some stretch fours, whatever it may be. They have a lot of options. They can kind of do whatever they want. They still have Kuzma there, like you guys said. So they're in really, really good shape. And like you guys mentioned earlier, the bookies were right. It looks like the Lakers are now probably the favorite, depending on what happens in free agency, to win it all next year. When you have two of the top five players, like we've seen the last 5 years with the Warriors, good chance you're going to end up in the finals.
Yeah, I think the one, just touching on the Kemba point again, I think the one good thing about Kemba, too, if they were to target and bring him in, this would be literally the most help he's ever had on the basketball court. I mean, this will be the first time he's playing. Maybe, like, even if he takes a reduced role, like Jack's mentioning, it's the first time he'll be able to maneuver on a court without having every single defender focusing on him being the primary offensive weapon. So I think Kemba would almost flourish even taking a back seat to an AD and a LeBron because of how less of an attention he would seek or a grab or whatever.
And we got a couple questions.
I was just going to, before we hit the questions, Nick, apparently Mark Sinners reported that Boston refused to make Tatum available in trade talks. if you were Danny Ainge, would you? Is that one of the questions? I'm not sure.
No, I'm just laughing because, like, how do you expect to make an AD trade without Jason Tatum? Like, it just never was going to happen.
Well, they didn't want to make Jaylen Brown available in a Kawhi Leonard trade. So, who knows?
I don't necessarily blame Danny Ainge in this situation. Like, I get it. You always want to go after the star player. We saw what happened with the Raptors. I mean, will Kawhi stay? Well, that's a different story. But if you're Danny Ainge and it's already been said by Anthony Davis that, like, I don't want to resign necessarily, then I would also, you're already losing Kyrie, I would have a hard time getting rid of Jason Tatum as well, just to have, you know, this all completely fall apart, right? You lose Kyrie, Tatum, and then Davis in the span of a year. I think that would be devastating for the fan base to a degree.
Yeah, I don't think it's the wrong move not to trade for Anthony Davis, but don't say you're going to pursue Anthony Davis because you think Kyrie's leaving and all this stuff. Like, you were never going to get him if you didn't include Jason Tatum. Like, you just don't have the assets to do it. Like, in the Kawhi Leonard trade, people don't talk about it enough. That's a terrible look for them. Even if they added Kawhi for 1 year and he left, they probably would have been favorites to win it all, and they probably would have won it all this year because they clearly would have been better than most of the teams they faced. So I think it's a major L, and I think Danny Ainge needs to probably realize that in most situations he's not dealing with Billy King, so he doesn't have leverage in every single deal that he's going to be able to rip somebody off.
Guys, I have a question. Before we get to the question, one last thing. Would it be crazy if the Lakers went after D'Lo?
Yeah, this is what this came up in my mind as well, Corey, when we're just talking about it. I don't think that D'Lo and LeBron and AD is necessarily the best fit. I think it's a good fit. I think that if you're going to throw some money, I think I would rather throw it at Brogdon than D'Angelo Russell. I think D'Lo likes to have the ball in his hands a lot, and that's been proven over the past few seasons. And he has generally worked the best with the ball in his hands, whereas LeBron James loves having the ball in his hands as well. And you need to give the ball to the best player in the world and one of the best players in the history of the game. I think D'Lo has proven over time that he can play off ball a little bit. But, you know, I think if you're the Los Angeles Lakers, you're looking for that point guard position and who to sort of fit there. Because if you have Rajon Rondo starting, you know, come October 18 or whatever it is, then that's a major L for the Los Angeles Lakers franchise. They need to add depth. They need to – this is 1A. You've done it. Well done. Let's give Rob Pelinka a round of applause. But the job ain't over yet.
Yeah, it's not. He put himself in a really good position to succeed, but he still has a little bit more to do. And on the D'Lo front, I just don't know if they'll connect again. Like, that situation was a little bit iffy. Obviously, Magic Johnson is gone. I don't know if D'Lo would want to go back to L.A. after what happened. It's kind of like I'm trying to bounce back in a different way. And it just made me think of another point guard, because it doesn't necessarily need to add a true point guard because they have LeBron. They could add somebody like Pat Bev, who I think would just be a monster defensively. He can shoot the three ball. He's not an amazing three-point shooter, but respectable enough. But let's get to some of these questions and thoughts we got.
We just got another Woj bomb quick.
What is it?
That the Pelicans are already looking to possibly flip the number four pick.
Okay. I would say it's like a minor bomb because I'm not super hyped about the number four pick, especially based off a lot of draft people say. But I'd be interested to see what they're trying to move the four pick for.
It seemed to me it was Bradley Beal. That just seems to be the name that just kept drumming home. Bradley Beal, Bradley Beal, Bradley Beal. And I mean, Jrue Holiday and Bradley Beal. Dear Lord, that would be a delightful backcourt. With Zion Williamson as well, and you know, Josh Hart and Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball. Boy oh boy, that would be a pretty fun team to watch. You know, the league pass darlings, as we all like to say, but. I'm not sure, but, you know, Jarrett Culver, I mean, and we'll talk about, I guess, what that number four pick looks like in relation to what the Pelicans will be looking to do with it and who they could draft. But let's hit those questions, Nick.
Yeah, when obviously the Wizards still have to name a GM, obviously. But getting over to the questions, Jorge in here, LA really won. No, they had to give up three picks. Fair enough. Our guy, Michael Zuckerman, who won the NBA hoodie that we sent out during the finals. Lakers, a different version of the Warriors now. They need vets and cheap contracts to fill out the roster. And I think they'll get those cheap contracts to fill out the roster because they have two of the best players in the world.
Yeah it's going to be, but at the same time, you know, with the narrative around LeBron before the Anthony Davis signing was, oh, no one wants to play with LeBron anymore. It seems to me that the tide has swung, you know, to the opposite. The pendulum has swung to the opposite direction now. And, you know, where those vet minimum contracts go, you know, it used to always be, you know, to the Golden State, to the Houston Rockets sort of teams. But they've still got lots of cap flexibility. They don't necessarily just need those veterans and vet minimum guys. They can add some quality players around the wings. There's, you know, 90, I don't know how many players who are restricted or unrestricted free agents this season. There's a lot of good players, a lot of talent on the market. Especially in comparison to next season. So this is a massive turning point for the Lakers franchise. And, you know, Jeannie Buss can breathe a little bit easier as well now. The whole debacle, I guess, that we've been talking about with Magic Johnson and everything in the organization as a whole, this sort of dulls those sort of doubters somewhat. But at the end of the day, come when the regular season happens, they've got to win some games as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's... You know, the rumors about LeBron being a guy you don't want to play with, now it's not even just playing with LeBron, you're playing with Anthony Davis. And then depending on your age, you're looking at the fact that you can play with LeBron for a couple years, and then you have the entire future with Anthony Davis since he's already said he wants to stay there long term. So really you're looking at both scenarios. And then not to mention with, you know, unfortunately with the Durant and Klay Thompson injuries, I mean, the entire league is wide open next year. The uncertainty of what the Celtics will look like, what will the Raptors look like. I mean, there's only a couple teams you can say for sure will be coming back intact with the roster they had last year. So I think if you're looking at for a new destination, the Lakers are just a prime spot for that. And again, it's the lure of being with one of the greatest franchises in NBA history. And then being able to pull off this move, just like you said, Jack, it kind of puts an ease to the minds of us who were concerned about how chaotic it might be after the Magic, Johnson, Jeannie Buss, and Rob Pelinka saga.
Look, I still think, just touching on that quote, I still think that there's a lot of really bad shit that's happening at the Los Angeles Lakers right now. I think that the general department around the front office and scouting and all those sort of extra things where you can make your basketball team a better organization, you know, getting shooting coaches, getting all these assistant coaches, the Lakers also need to invest in that. Yes, talent does a lot, but at the same time, you need to maximize that talent by having good people around the organization. There could still be a lot of friction with Jason Kidd, Lionel Hollins, Frank Vogel. You know, there could be
those guys.
I honestly, I'm not even kidding you. I literally just had the thought of, man, Frank Vogel's the head coach.
Like, that's the thing. Like, it's going to take probably like 2 weeks before we see Frank Vogel fired and Jason Kidd fired. And I mean, I'm not a massive fan. And I mean, I'm always going to be more down on the Lakers because, you know, I'm an East Coast dude, even though like I prefer the East Coast. I'm just saying I'm a Southern Hemisphere dude by virtue of geographical circumstances. But I'm just intrigued to see. It's going to be a shit show in LA. There's going to be shit show elements, but at least now they have the talent to sort of override the shit showness.
Winning cures a lot of things, and especially if things are chaotic, people feel a lot more calm because they do have two of the top five players. Obviously, the pressure, though, increases, though, because they have to win. Like, there's no excuse. Like, you need a top three seed. You need to probably go to the Western Conference Finals and probably get to the finals. Like, especially the way things look in the West. You know, you guys brought up the Warriors. Klay Thompson's not going to be back to probably March or April, if that, if he's healthy. KD's probably not back the entire year. The Warriors aren't the favorites to win a chip. Houston probably isn't going to be better than they were last year. You probably expect them to take a step down. The only teams are, you know, if Denver makes some type of splash move or if Utah makes some type of splash move. Everyone else is, I don't think you're that concerned. So the Lakers have to feel really good about getting to the chip, but with that comes a lot of pressure.
Go ahead, Jack.
I was just going to say, because as soon as Nick said the word chaos, it's sort of like there was a light bulb moment when Brian Windhorst has sort of said that LeBron James sort of thrives in that chaos. And I mean, obviously there is a tipping point to it. And I think that point was reached last season with the Anthony Davis rumors and the saga that was happening there with Rich Paul and everything else surrounding the organization. But there is some semblance of stability now. I'm not saying it's the most stable organization in the NBA. The Los Angeles Lakers never are. But I think now, you know, I think there has to be an element of controversy for LeBron James to be able to sort of, like a lot of these players, like pretty much all players, they love to silence the doubters. And, you know, it can't be all smooth sailing. You know, you never win a chip without some sort of adversity along the way. You know, the Golden State Warriors, the Toronto Raptors, all these teams, you know, over the past decade or so have had to undergo some bumpy roads. And, you know, how things gel. Yes, it's a good fit on paper, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, but we've never seen it. Like, you know, we could sort of predict the whole Dwayne Wade thing with Team USA and Anthony Davis and LeBron James have had moments, so to speak, in all-star games and the rest. But, you know, I want to see how the coaches maximize the talent. You know, is LeBron James going to be taken over and saying, look, AD, I want you over here? How does AD react to LeBron James? You know, we're all sort of looking at the fact now that, you know, Anthony Davis is sort of, you know, his ear he's always getting in the ear by Rich Paul. And, you know, he's the little bro, so to speak, to Anthony Davis, LeBron James. So I'm still intrigued. I don't think that, you know, this is, you know, tick and, you know, it's the chip. Let's just send Larry O'Brien back to LA. I still think the Eastern Conference has way more stacked talent. But the fact that the Los Angeles Lakers have set themselves above puts them in the prime position.
Yeah, I still think they have to compete with the East. Like, I think the West, it looks a little bit easier, especially with the Warriors being banged up, but the Eastern Conference teams can come back next year strong, and some of them could possibly come back stronger depending on the moves they make. So think it's definitely interesting to see what happens. And obviously a lot of it's going to be important to how they fill out the rest of the roster. Like we mentioned earlier, part of me just wants them to almost fill it out with a lot of like pretty good to great players and no more superstars, just because you need that spacing, having LeBron and AD out there, because a LeBron Anthony Davis pick and roll situation seems pretty deadly, but you need the spacing on the rest of the floor for that to really work out. But getting into some more of the stuff in the chat, Mike Zuckerman brought up they can make a move for Mike Conley. What would you guys think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's another trade, isn't it? Because I think Mike Conley isn't
It would be a trade. They could absorb probably into cap space, and I don't necessarily think that Memphis is looking for A1 assets at this time, but they still have to make it work.
And I think a lot of other teams would be able to offer him a little bit more. I think, you know, Utah, Indiana, with now the Lakers losing such a large portion of their top-end assets, and they can't necessarily give any picks other than second-rounders. So I think that a trade seems unlikely for the Lakers to acquire more talent. But anything's in the realms of possibility in this weird and wacky league.
Mike Conley's the type of point guard I think you want, in the fact that he's selfless and he plays defense first. I just don't see how likely it is because of his contract as well. We kind of mentioned how Chris Paul would be tough to trade for. I think Mike Conley would be just as tough to trade for. So he's making, what, $36 million, $35 million? So I don't think it's terribly realistic. I mean, I don't think it's a bad fit necessarily. I just don't know the odds of that occurring.
Making the actual deal is the tough part there. In terms of fit, I think we'd all agree.
We have to do some sort of sign-in trade almost.
Yeah, you'd have to get creative, and he's still under contract, so it's not like there's really a ton of options. But I think we should talk about a little bit from the New Orleans side. Now, what do you think about the haul they got for Anthony Davis in a situation where they lost a lot of leverage, especially when a player comes out and says, hey, we want to be traded, and we only want to be traded to pretty much one team. You know, he did mention the Knicks and other teams along the way, but it's been L.A. most of the way. So how do you think they did in terms of the package they got back?
I think it was probably as good as you can get. I think that the three first rounders to me is the massive sort of tick. And obviously there's going to be protections around it. And obviously the Lakers, if they are a solid organization and competing for a championship, those first round picks are, 20 to 30 for the most part. But anything can happen in the NBA. You know, LeBron James is aging. You know, Anthony Davis by himself, they need to get players around that. You know, I think that third star is crucial for the Lakers in that sort of sense. But I think Brandon Ingram, what he turns out to be, how he fits alongside Zion Williamson. You know, Zion, I think, will work best, and as do most sort of guys with some shooting. And I think Brandon Ingram has a decent enough shot, but he didn't take a lot of them under Luke Walton. He likes the ball in his hands as well. You know, I think that he has some nice sort of floor handling abilities and floor general abilities. Lonzo Ball, I think, and Drew Holiday could be a wild defensive sort of duo. And Lonzo obviously has to get himself right. And Big Baller Brand is heading... It's not even Big Baller Brand anymore. My bad. Sorry, Big Baller Brand fans. But I think that... And then you add in Josh Hart, who, like you said, Nick, is the consummate sort of role player. But that number four pick, I'll hear Corey's thoughts, obviously, because, we want to hear Corey's biceps speak. He has a mouth as well. but I want to talk about that number four pick as well, and because I know our guys, Dalton, Matt, and Dylan are doing a lot of work and in terms of, the mock drafts and everything and a lot of breakdowns. I want to talk about that number four pick at the same time.
I mean, first with the trade, I think when you're looking at the assets we mentioned, I mean, you have a young core now. You got three young guys, and Zion's already on the team. So you got Zion, Lonzo, and Ingram as your core three going forward. And Lonzo has shown glimpses of being a really good defender. I mean, the oops to Zion from Lonzo should be very entertaining. Already defensively, that squad's pretty good. Zion's a good defender. Josh Hart's a good defender. Lonzo's a good defender. Brandon Ingram, I think, is a decent defender because of his length. Obviously, his strength has been his one issue. Drew Holiday is still on the roster. He's a very good defender. So defensively, the Pelicans already are solid on that front. And then you look at the four pick. I have a feeling they don't even keep the four pick right now. I feel like they're going to try and move it just because, as we mentioned, the top three guys you can kind of lock in on, Zion, Morant, and Barrett. And then you're kind of up in the air between, is it DeAndre Hunter? Is it Garland? Kobe White, I know, is it Cam Reddish? None of these guys, like, knock you off your feet. So maybe they even package the four pick with Drew Holiday to try and move his contract. It's not overly heavy, but it's still $27 million a year. I think going forward, if you're the Pelicans, this is a good haul. I mean, Brandon Ingram, I showed glimpses, like you mentioned before when we first started. Two of these guys could possibly become all-stars, but at least one for sure of these three that the Pelicans acquired should become an all-star over their career.
Yeah, I think you look at Lonzo when you look at Ingram and you hope that one of these guys can become an all-star. You know, Lonzo, there's some concern with health in the jump shot. Ingram, it's a little bit of a health concern, but a lot of people said he'll bounce back fine. He was on a tear before he got injured in the second half of last season, so I'm looking forward to see what he can do. There's already reports dropping that they could look to trade down in this draft. A team like the Hawks, who has multiple picks in the first round, maybe they look to add more young players or future picks to kind of make a trade down the line when Zion's entering his prime, and maybe they look to move Drew Holiday and just go all young. I think in my eyes, I would probably look to move Drew and add more young players and then keep them all around the same timeline and then kind of enter a dynasty when I get all these young players hitting their prime.
Woj has just reported, guys, another bomb. Teams are already expressing significant interest in the number 4 overall pick belonging now to the Pelicans. League sources tell us, ESPN, talks are expected to continue over the next few days. This deal could get even bigger for the Pelicans.
I could see it. I mean, a lot of teams want to move up to that 4 pick, especially if they're in that middle tier of the draft. You know, if they're in the 8 to 15 thing and they want to get up and maybe they like a player that's not getting enough respect around some of the circles. So I wouldn't put it past them. I'm really intrigued to see what New Orleans does the rest of the summer because I believe they also have $18 million in cap space, and I don't really expect them to bring back Julius Randle, especially adding Zion. Not to say that I think that they're that similar, but I think they play at similar positions.
Yeah, I think that that's a horrible fit if they were to retain those two. And I maintain that Julius Randle is a horrible fit in Brooklyn. So any Brooklyn Nets fans, Brooklyn Buzz fans listening, I stand that till I die. But number 4 pick, I mean, Corey made some slight mentionings of it. Jonathan Goodvoney has put out the fact that their updated mock draft has Jarrett Culver going to New Orleans, if obviously they do end up keeping and retaining that pick. Just chatting in the group chat with some of the boys, Dalton thinks Jarrett Culver as well. I think you don't want too much youth on this roster. At the same time, I think the core that the New Orleans has right now, you know, Drew Holiday still has plenty of years left in his prime as well. It's always going to depend on, you know, what is the best deal. At the end of the day, is Jarrett Culver going to be better for you than, you know, this whatever sort of pick you can get? Like if the Atlanta Hawks want to trade up to that number 4 pick for, you know, 8, 15, 8, 10 and 17 or whatever it might be, you know, you can get Cam Reddish and whatever. Obviously, there's only so many players you can have on a roster as well if you're the New Orleans Pelicans. I'm really intrigued because I think that there's always, despite the fact that this Anthony Davis trade was predicted, it was almost set in stone, it was chiseled, it was carved, there's something that I think unexpected that could happen with this number 4 pick. At the end of the day, it could just be, you know, we roll around to next week when that draft happens and, you know, the New Orleans Pelicans end up just selecting, you know, Jarrett Culver with that number 4 pick, which I don't think would be necessarily a bad thing. I'll see to the draft dudes at OGGBasketball.com and all the stuff that they've been doing with their mocks and draft profiles to talk about, you know, the talent that he has. But it seems to me that Jarrett Culver is the number one sort of guy. I know that Darius Garland did work out and is a clutch client as well. Whether that has any sort of bearing on where he's selected as well. He's more rumored, I guess, to go to that number 5 pick in Cleveland. And even worked out with LeBron James just a few weeks ago. So before that number 4 pick was obviously traded in this deal. So we will see. I did see as well, apparently this is who's left on the Lakers payroll for next year. It's LeBron, it's Davis, it's Kuzma, it's Mo Wagner and Isaac Bonga. So Rajon Rondo is a free agent. So like, there's a lot of moving pieces. You've got 5 players who are locked down. There's 10 possible slots that need to be filled. Or obviously, you might leave some wiggle room for buyouts and such. But you know, you're building a new team here, and this is going to go down as probably Rob Pelinka's legacy and probably David Griffin's legacy in New Orleans to an extent as well.
Yeah, and just touching on New Orleans real quick, I think a lot depends on what they do with the 4 pick and the rest of free agency is what their goal is for this upcoming season. Do they want to push for an 8 seed, want to develop, depending on what they want? And with L.A., I think it's actually an ideal scenario. When you add a player like AD and LeBron, there's players you want to put around them that have a specific skill set. So having an open roster really works out. But like you said, Rob Pelinka, this is an opportunity for him to either kind of boom or bust. Like you have two of the best players in the league, there's going to be high expectations.
there's going to be massive expectations. And
yeah,
it's going to be insane to see how this all sort of works out. But, you know, the Lakers have now traded D'Angelo Russell, who turned into an all-star. They've now traded Lonzo Ball. Both guys taken with the number two pick. Both guys with, you know, immense talent. What Lonzo Ball turns into, you know, I'm almost becoming a Lonzo believer in a lot of instances. Because, you know, we saw in instances last season, the team was just so much better defensively with his presence on the court. And that wasn't necessarily his number one sort of strong suit heading into the draft and when he was selected by the Lakers. I like the fit of him and Zion, despite the fact that, you know, neither of them are the greatest of shooters. But Lonzo has improved that a little bit. I think that I've got a little bit of confidence there with him as well. But to have such a fluent passer and such a guy who, you know, we know Zion Williamson is deadly on the break. And I think Lonzo can make that even more deadly for the New Orleans Pelicans. So I'm excited to see that duo. And you add in Jrue Holiday, who Nick and I have seen in person, one of the best defensive players I've ever seen in person. Now, putting in a little bit of a damper on it, I've only seen about 10 NBA games, but he is insane. And I think that the New Orleans Pelicans can make the playoffs with what they have right now.
Yeah, I think if I'm looking at New Orleans, though, I think one issue, you mentioned all these guys, their spacing is really bad. Like, they would have to add some elite shooters to that mix. We know Lonzo's not a plus shooter. Ingram's not a plus shooter. Zion's probably not a plus shooter. Jrue Holiday's more so an average shooter from deep. So if they want to make the playoffs, I think defensively, like, early, they have a lot of good defensive players, but offensively there's some concern in how they can make that work.
Yeah, that's why I say, like, I'm for when Zion, when Lonzo was coming into the league, I know I was very low on him, and not low on him to a degree of like I thought he was gonna be a bad player, but everyone kept saying like this is the next Magic Johnson, and I was just like, this is definitely not the next Magic Johnson. But like you mentioned, Jack, this is a guy who has improved at least defensively from his first year to last year. He was noticeably better. He is able to push the pace. He is a very good passer. And it's literally just a question of, is that health and is that jump shot going to be able to continue to improve? Because obviously both of these last two seasons for him, he's gotten hurt and missed parts of the season. And both of them being lower body injuries too, if I recall, ankle.
Yeah, one was knee, I think one was ankle. And just getting back to the Lakers side, our boy Jay Christian just dropped in the chat that Bobby Marks reported that Lakers will have somewhere between $27 to $30 million in cap space. So pretty much enough for either one max spot or adding a couple good players.
Yeah,
it's a solid amount of money. And, you know, I think you can do a lot with that, like we've sort of spoken about, you know, at length. But just to, if you guys were Rob Pelinka, who would you value more out of, like, Lon? I think you guys have probably spoken about this at length on the outlet, obviously. But now, with the recency bias with us, who would you rather have if you're the Los Angeles Lakers? And, you know, David Griffin's like, look, you can keep one of these three guys. You can keep Lonzo, you can keep Ingram, or you can keep Kuz. We're letting you have one, but you got to give everyone else. Who would you guys have kept?
You go first, Corey. I guess I'll go first.
Go ahead.
I think, like, I would want to probably, I mean, if I'm adding AD, I think you maybe want to keep Kuz because he'd be a role player, or Josh Hart because they kind of have that role player mentality, where Lonzo and Ingram, you kind of look like probably need the ball a little bit more, especially Lonzo being a point
Lonzo
guard.
Lonzo doesn't need the ball more. Lonzo gives the ball away at every opportunity.
I'm saying, as a role player, like, for him to be effective, he needs to drive to the rim. He's not going to provide spacing for Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Like, he's not adding to the offense and creating gravity. He's like anti-gravity. It's like having Andre Iguodala in the finals where they're not respecting him at the three-point line. Now it's somebody else who can kind of cut down a little bit on LeBron or AD if they're inside.
I'm pretty sure Lonzo Ball shot the ball better from three than Kuzma last year. I'm going to look this up.
Well, I'm sure he did. Kuzma shot like 32%.
Yeah.
But also, what was the difference between the wide open looks that Lonzo saw and the difference in the Kuzma? Like, Kuzma at least probably got a little respect from the 3-point line, where people were asking Lonzo to shoot. I'm not saying Lonzo is, you know, going to end up being worse than Kuzma or anything, but I could understand why they'd want to keep players that look to be role players in the future instead of players that could potentially have bigger roles. I think And talent-wise, I think I'd rather, if I'm building a franchise or building a team, I'd rather take a chance on Ingram and Lonzo because they have higher ceilings than both the guys that over Josh Hart and Kuzma.
Yeah, yep. I lean the same way. I think because of the upside possibility for both Lonzo and Ingram, those are the two guys. I mean, Josh Hart, he does have already knee tendonitis, right? which doesn't go away, as we've mentioned on a lot of these shows, talking about Reggie Jackson and other guys like that. So who knows what kind of form he becomes throughout his career if he already has these knee issues early. And then, you know, Kuzma, I think he's just, I don't know. I feel like Kuzma could easily be like a flash in the pan. Like, this could easily be the ceiling for Kyle Kuzma, right? Just a kind of high volume guy off the bench, can give you some nice bursts, but is nothing aside from that. Whereas, like we mentioned, I think Lonzo and Ingram could arguably both become multiple time all-stars if their careers develop correctly.
Yeah. And I think a part of me feels like Lonzo and Ingram could maybe excel in a different situation, just where it's not around LeBron, especially Ingram. Like Jay mentioned in the chat, they weren't necessarily a great fit together, especially because Ingram really excelled in isolation situations last year in the second half of the season. Now in New Orleans, he'll have a real opportunity to do that. And I think just from New Orleans, like, you want those two players. Like, I thought the whole Kyle Kuzma thing was weird that they talked about it for the last 2 weeks, that was holding up the trade. Like, really, Kyle Kuzma's holding up the trade? Like, what is he? Like you guys mentioned, he's best case probably a really good scorer off the bench.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think it was also just like kind of like a ploy to try and see if them holding off on Kuzma could entice the Celtics or somebody else to get more aggressive possibly and throw in another asset or two. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was also just the kind of maneuver. So I'm right there with you. I couldn't wrap my head around the fact that Kyle Kuzma was really the hiccup in this trade getting done.
Yeah, I think that the reporting of that sort of, you know, there was more clarity on it in the sense that it wasn't Kuzma that was the sort of guy that was the sort of hiccup, so to speak. It was that there had to be, you know, if you're not giving us Kuzma, you got to give us Ingram, Lonzo, and Hart and an extra pick or something instead. I would say that if they gave Kuzma, it would have been two first round picks instead. But obviously you would have like literally no players in the freaking roster, and then, you know, the New Orleans Pelicans have like 18. Like this is their roster right now. So it's Lonzo and Elfrid Payton are your point guards. Obviously, Payton's a free agent.
Nope, shooting guard, point guard position. Okay, next.
Yep, nothing there. Jrue Holiday and Josh Hart. So that's a decent shooting guard rotation. At your small forward position, you've got Ingram and Etuan Moore. Don't necessarily hate it.
Is Solomon Hill gone?
No, he's Solomon Hill is
power forward. Like, yeah, he gets small forward to power forward. So you've got Zion and Solomon Hill. And then your center position is big boy Jahlil Okafor and Cheick Diallo. So there's not much happening at that center position, but I'd like to see Zion play a bit of center. But and obviously you've got the number four pick, you know, DeAndre Hunter. You know, Dylan actually said that he thinks DeAndre Hunter would be a better fit because of his shooting and defense. And obviously, you know, we saw everyone's spoken about the fact that it's a top three sort of draft. And then after that, maybe you do draft for fit. And I think DeAndre Hunter, from everything that I've read about him from the guys at OGBasketball.com, seems to be a better fit. And obviously seeing their mocks as well and listening to the mocks on iTunes too. I think DeAndre Hunter would be a better fit. But, you know, you add, you know, Bradley Beal or, you know, some other sort of star-ish player, you know, all-star fringe-ish player to that sort of mix, then, you know, the like we've spoken about, the West is wide open, but they're going to be contenders. They're going to be, you know, media darlings, all the rest. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they sort of build because, you know, we've spoken about, you know, at length, you know, the Anthony Davis saga begun because, you know, Dell Demps could not build around him. He could not build a contender around him. And he went he was too rash in a lot of his moves. He couldn't build around, you know, an elite, you know, I think we've spoken about before in person, guys, one of the best power forwards in the history of the game already and could go down as that when it's all said and done. So, you know, I think David Griffin needs to look, we've got Zion right now. You know, well, at least it seems fait accompli. How do we build around this absolute stud? I don't hate Hart. I don't hate Ingram. I don't hate the ball by any stretch of the imagination either. But like you guys have mentioned, and like we mentioned with every bloody team, it's about getting shooters and shooting role players. And I think Etuan Moore's had a nice season as well. But, you know, Solomon, yeah, and he is a good shooter. Payton, I would just let him go and add some other tier sort of free agent like we've sort of spoken about with the Lakers. You know, I think that the Pelicans could be, you know, looking for Patrick Beverley types and Darren Collison sort of types as well. But the Pelicans have something there. But this isn't a play for next year. This is a play for 5 years in the future where Zion Williamson is reaching his peak. Are they a championship contender? Are they a top four seed then? That is going to be the key. Is Lonzo Ball going to be an all-star? Like we've spoken about, Lonzo and Brandon Ingram have the potential to be all-stars. I'm not necessarily that high on Brandon Ingram. I value his skill set. I'm a little bit higher on Lonzo just because of his position and a little bit of his versatility. And I like his size as a point guard. I know sizes and everything. And you can read into that what you will there, my friends. But Lonzo has a lot of intangibles and a lot of, you know, defensive acumen. I think the shot's going to be okay. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, locked down. But, you know, if it's around that 35% range, he can bring it up to there, a league sort of average. Then I think that he can be a really good point guard. I think that all those guys are going to have long futures in the league. It just depends on how they can reach their potential under Alvin Gentry and David Griffin in New Orleans.
I want to play devil's advocate for 2 seconds, only because
a couple players.
Go ahead. You're good. I was just going to say to play devil's advocate.
Okay, well, I'm just throwing this out there.
Are you going or am I going?
You go ahead.
What's happening?
Okay, so devil's advocate. So I saw a couple people in our OTG group chat say the Lakers got fleeced. So I don't – we obviously don't agree with that. We've kind of just broke that all down. The only way the Lakers got fleeced – well, not even necessarily the Lakers got fleeced. I could easily see the Pelicans getting fleeced a lot more because, as we kind of mentioned, all three of these guys have had some sort of injury history. So there's not even like a set that these guys don't have more complications. The blood clot thing is kind of concerning for my eyes. And then the knee tendonitis, the Lonzo being hurt thing. So, like, I don't think there's any scenario where either one of these teams got fleeced. I think there's a fair amount of risk on in any trade just like this one. Just wanted to say that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think you look at it from the Lakers side. There's obviously a risk with Anthony Davis. You know, he's had some injury concern. Maybe it doesn't necessarily work out. And all these young players really excel. And Ingram and Lonzo both become all-stars. And same thing from the Pelican sides. You know, they're not finished products. You know, Lonzo and Ingram aren't finished products. Hart's not a finished product. You don't know what's going to happen with the draft picks. They could all be busts. So I think it's really hard to analyze a trade like this until what happens. If the Lakers go on and win a championship in the next 2 years, it's automatically worth it. The same thing that happened with the Kawhi trade. They won a championship with the Raptors this year. It's worth it. So I think we can't really make a decision on the trade. And what I was going to say before, just at the bottom of the roster for New Orleans, they do have some interesting pieces as well. Frank Jackson, a young guy, missed most of his rookie season, had some good moments. Christian Wood signed there, I think, mid-season, had some really good moments for them. They also signed Bertans' brother, Darius Bertans. So they do have a couple other young pieces on that roster. They're more of project players or role guys moving down the line. So I'm super intrigued to see what New Orleans does. Like, part of me really wants them to trade Jrue Holiday and just go in full asset mode, let these players excel, maybe sign a couple of vets, somebody along the lines of like a Jared Dudley just to keep everything stabilized, or, you know, Damari Carroll, who we talk about for the Nets, Jack. But I think there's an opportunity here where they have all these young players. They all start to hit their prime. They gather extra assets, especially they trade down with that 4 pick. And then all of a sudden Zion's hitting his peak. You know, one of the other guys, either Lonzo and Ingram's hitting their peak. And then all of a sudden they're at a point where they can make a trade for another star. And now they're in dynasty mode.
Yeah, it's all projecting, and it's going to be very intriguing to see how it all sort of works out. But where do the Lakers rank right now in terms of teams in the NBA? Obviously, you know, we're forecasting about whether, you know, where Kawhi lands and where Kyrie lands and all the rest. But, you know, we've got inklings of where those sort of things are happening. It seems to me that the Lakers seem to be, you know, despite the fact that they've only got like 6 players on their roster, the Western Conference team to beat. When you have 2 of the best, you know, 5-6 players in the NBA, that certainly does help. But there's plenty of talent out east.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really tough to say depending on how they fill out the roster. They're in a position to end up being the best team in the NBA next year just because they have 2 of the top 5 players in the league, or 2 of the top 6 or 7, however you want to rank Anthony Davis or LeBron James. When you put yourself in a position like that, and then the other team that had 2 of the top 5 players in the league, KD and Steph Curry, one of those guys being injured for the entire next season, the Lakers can make themselves the best team. It's more about what happens in free agency.
Yeah, I think I'd put the Lakers somewhere between 10 and 5, just looking at the fact they have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. I wouldn't put them any higher than 5th, probably, just because a couple of these teams aren't going to come back mostly intact. Like we said, we have to see how they fill out the rest of this roster. But I think easily, you add AD, the Lakers are now a top 10 team in the NBA, at least from a talent standpoint. You have Anthony Davis, LeBron James. Those are 2 of the arguably top 5 players in the league.
Where would you put them, Jack?
I would put them, well, I think right now, and if all things considered, Kawhi re-signs, I would say the Raptors are better. I think the Sixers are better. I would say the Bucks are better. So I would say that they're a top four team. And, you know, who knows what could happen with, Kyrie Irving, Kemba Walker, all the rest. But Woj dropped another mini bomb. He's just dropping them left, right, and center. Anthony Davis is expected to re-sign with the Lakers next summer.
Big surprise.
I mean, but at the same time, Rich Paul was adamant in that Sports Illustrated feature piece that he's going to be entering free agency. You know, Chris Haynes reported just like minutes before that he's going to play out his final year and then enter free agency. It seems to me he's going to enter free agency with the intention to re-sign with the Lakers, obviously. But like you said, Nick, no surprises?
Nah, I'm not surprised. I mean, this was the whole plan all along, especially teaming up with LeBron. Like, endorsement deals through the roof. Like, I don't think people understand. They're with the Lakers, you have LeBron James, who gathers the most media attention. AD's endorsements, he already had a lot of popularity just with the brow and being such a likable player before the trade request, depending on how you look at that. I think it's just huge. Like, it doesn't make sense to leave the Lakers if they have LeBron and they have a successful season. The only way that I could see AD leaving the Lakers would be if things got really bad. It was really chaotic, like you mentioned, and they disappoint in the playoffs and get knocked out in the second round.
Yeah, I think also, though, you put out the news that he's going to test free agency with the thought of hopefully that scares everybody away. So if we get him to the Lakers, then we can just say, he's going to sign. Like, I think you use that as a ploy to kind of fear. Maybe the Lakers are the only team that knows I'm definitely re-signing with you, but we're going to say I'm not re-signing. So every other team is kind of hesitant to trade for me. I feel like there's also that conspiracy that could be out there. And again, like you just said, Nick, if they miss the playoffs, get bounced in the first round, lose in the second round, if they just fail to meet expectations with whoever else they bring in, it could be like Kyrie Irving, who said, if you guys will have me back, I'll come back. But guess what? I didn't like how this season went, so I'm outie.
Yo, don't talk about my boy Kyrie like that. No.
And according to Jay, that's how I am, because I'm a serial dater and I have commitment issues, according to Jay.
Oh.
So maybe that's what Anthony Davis and Kyrie both have in common. They like the thought of something, and then after a few months they want to leave. But I don't think so. I think this is where Davis is going to be long term, because as we've mentioned briefly, LeBron's got 3 years left. Well, 1 to 2 years, I think, of being a really dominant basketball player, still are a very good basketball player. I expect the fourth year for him to at least drop to some degree. And then once that contract's over, it's Anthony Davis. This is your team, and we will do whatever we have to make this your perfect scenario.
I almost feel like it's, to an extent, obviously from a media and the narrative perspective, it's going to be LeBron's team for this year. But like, LeBron could kind of push it to being AD's team, because he's just in a position where he can take more of a load. And this has really helped LeBron. Like, he can get into that load management thing we've seen with Kawhi, because now you can rest LeBron a little bit, and now you still have one of the best players in the league you can put on the floor, depending on how they felt the rest of the roster. This could end up extending his prime a little bit. I'm really excited. I'm really excited to see what Anthony Davis can do with a player like LeBron. And disrespect to Jrue Holiday, who was amazing last year, has improved the last couple of seasons, but this is going to be the best player that AD has ever played with, and let's see how LeBron can get out of him.
Brad Turner has just released a tweet. He said that with trade talks getting contentious, Pelicans president David Griffin didn't take a call from Lakers GM Rob Pelinka until the fourth call today, per sources. Pelicans changed their mind on wanting, he says Pelinka, but it means Kuzma, after getting 3 first-round picks instead. Pelinka ain't dealing with the Dell Demps no more. David Griffin knows what he is doing.
Yeah, and I think the reports came out earlier this week, or maybe at the end of last week, that the Pelicans wanted to make this trade happen before the end of this weekend.
Yep.
Because they wanted to get to know some of the draft prospects if they want to make a move for them. And now they can sit down with the meetings, get to those guys, talk to them a little bit, and get a feel for them. So I just feel like the rest of the league was kind of scared off by some of the comments that Rich Paul made about AD and not resigning or playing out the year, whatever it may be. And they weren't getting other good offers. And they want this Laker offer to, go by the wayside, especially after the draft or something along those lines. So I feel like the Pelicans almost had to take this deal with the way that Anthony Davis and his team kind of leveraged themselves.
Yeah.
Guys, Irvin Magic Johnson has tweeted, "Great job by owner Jeannie Buss bringing Anthony Davis to the Lakers!" Laker Nation. The Lakers are bringing back Lakers are back in a championship hunt! Exclamation point. Congratulations to the entire organization. I know LeBron James has a big smile on his face. I'm loving this! 2 exclamation points. Yeah, just he loves his exclamation points.
No Rob Pelinka shout out. I'm shocked.
I was just gonna say, Oh god. You know, that's kind of what you expect from Magic at this point. Really great NBA analyst right there. But
anything else you got? 37 points last night.
Oh, wow, Magic, thanks. That was really good input from an NBA Hall of Famer. But what else are we thinking in terms of the Lakers or the Pelican side? Anything else you guys want to touch on?
There's this tweet by Rye Cole. Why would the Lakers empty the entire chest if Boston wasn't even offering Tatum? It makes zero sense. I kind of see the logic in that. Like, you spoke about, Nick, that the Pelicans are in the position of power. They're the ones with the asset. But at the same time, you know, they could, if the Lakers were that confident in themselves, they could have bluffed and go, all right, well, then you send Davis into the season and see what happens. And then we'll do this deal. We'll offer you at the trade deadline. You know, we're not going to change our offer. Obviously, Rob Pelinka isn't the most savvy of GMs, but... I think that the Lakers did have, obviously, being the fact that Rich Paul has made it known, LeBron James has made it known, Anthony Davis has made it known that the Lakers are the only team he's going to re-sign with. So it's essentially, it's a deal between two parties. And obviously you can add the third party in for the different sort of finagling in the packages. But I think it makes a bit of sense because the Lakers gave up a lot, like 3 first-rounders and, you know, 3 really young, nice assets. It's a heck of a haul and one of the bigger hauls that we've seen, you know, since the Boston Celtics, Brooklyn Nets trade, you know, RIP Billy King.
When I said AD and his team had leverage, I meant AD and Rich Paul, not the Pelicans.
Right.
I think they had the leverage. I don't know if the Lakers had any leverage or the Pelicans. It was more so Anthony Davis and his agent. Where I think the one issue for the Lakers wanting to make this trade right now is you want to start next season with Anthony Davis. You want to start the year. You want to get that chemistry. You want to get things going. You make that trade at the deadline. There's no guarantee you kind of find that rhythm. And at this rate, at LeBron's age, you just can't afford to waste another year of his prime. Like last year was a complete waste of his time, unless you're viewing it as a rest year, which that's a fair case to make. But I think you need to make the move so the team is in sync and you can build around Anthony Davis in the offseason. Because hypothetically, let's say they build a roster this offseason that's for AD and LeBron. They go to make the AD trade at the deadline, and all of a sudden someone's going to throw a crazy offer at the Pelicans just because, hey, we want to compete for this last section of the year. Maybe we'll just take our shot and we think we can convince AD, and they don't get him. Like, Corey, there's still a chance they get and don't get him.
Update, great trade, Rob Pelinka, !! Job well done. There we go.
Wow.
Oh, wow. I didn't expect that. I got to be honest. I didn't expect a Rob.
I did not expect it at all. But maybe Matt.
Way to take the high road. Way to go.
What, on Twitter? On Twitter.
Hey, you don't know if he texted him. He might have texted him.
I mean, he didn't even tell the owner of the organization, his so-called sister, that he was quitting. I mean, that
don't tell me you don't post a happy birthday for your friend and text him. Come on.
No, I do one or the other. Like, I prefer the direct message because, you know, I don't want to broadcast. This isn't about me. It's not my birthday. It's not about me like Magic Johnson. He always makes it about himself at the end of the day. He's the one, like you sort of said, he's taking the high road. He's taking the high road in a public forum where everyone's just like, oh, well done, Magic. Like you just literally just said, Corey. analyzing tweets is always fun on a podcast.
That's what we're paid to do.
Yep.
We're not here for the NBA analyst, just a tweet analyst.
Big bucks.
Wait, we're paid?
Anything else in the New Orleans? Technically, we
are. Snotree.com, DSGNtree.com/off-the-glass.
Just me and Jack keep all the money. No. anything else on New Orleans side, guys, that we want to touch on before we get out of here?
Well, Cody M. Shiva, a guy with a blue tick who has 390 followers, ladies and gentlemen. Jimmy Butler has agreed to sign with the LA Lakers when free agency begins on June 30th. How does a guy get a blue tick with 390 followers? I don't get that.
You pay a lot of money. No, you pay for the verified.
It's just like a I'll send you guys the tweet. And for anyone on there, it's just like a dumb news from like a dumb person who is a sports enthusiast since 1992 and a reporter since 2016. But he put, I don't get how, I mean, the blue tick is a seal of approval. And the fact that OGD Basketball with their near 5,000 followers, yet Cody M. Shiva gets that blue tick, it's a disgrace. And Jack, whatever your name is, with Serena Williams and that's the Reddit guy. Who's the, is that the Twitter guy or the Reddit guy who's dating Serena Williams?
I think it's a Reddit guy.
My bad. Twitter guy, whatever your name is, give us that blue tick, my dude.
So we'd appreciate I just want to say this Mark Stein tweet because it's funny. He goes, LeBron James missed the playoff for the first time in 14 years. 2 days after the season ends, LeBron finds that he will be partnered by the best teammate he's ever had and really the ideal sidekick. And everyone's just like quoting with Dwayne Wade. Is this the best sidekick he's ever had?
He's better than Dwayne Wade probably was at that point. Anthony Davis is up for consideration as the best player in the NBA. When he went to Miami, I don't think Dwayne Wade was up for consideration as the best player in the NBA.
I agree.
Top five. But like we kind of mentioned earlier, we have no idea what Anthony Davis's peak is. We don't know what he's like when he's playing with another elite player like this. We saw a whole nother level for Kevin Durant when he joined up with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Obviously, there's not as many all-stars here, but both guys can definitely excel.
Yep. And Brandon Ingram and Josh Hart have taken to their Instagram. Brandon Ingram posted a story featuring the smiling face emoji with the rosy cheeks. And Josh Hart did a visual representation of that with a selfie. So the boys are happy that they're going to be heading to New Orleans. It's a wonderful city.
I think at the point where you get rumored to be traded so much that it almost feels good when you're traded because you expect to stay in that location at least to the end of your contract or at least for a good time.
That's it.
All right, guys, I think that wraps it up for the Anthony Davis to the Lakers pod that we just recorded here. Obviously, check us out, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, TGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. Also, be dropping some free agency previews. Kind of happy this happened first because it's going to change some of the destinations we mentioned on those shows.
Peace out, knuckleheads.